and welcome to the Pocket Gamer Podcast. It's episode number 458. My name is James Gilmore, and joining me today, it's Rick Cowley.
Hello, hello. That was awfully high.
I know, right? You're getting quite excited. Did you have Skittles for lunch? Is that what this is?
I had a burger for lunch. It was
great. Oh my God, you monster. Filth! I am slightly jealous.
You know what's even worse, though? What? I didn't have bread with the burger. I had it with a potato waffle.
What, two potato waffles where the burger is... Or just a potato waffle?
No, I was going to do that, but I had two burgers and ended up just putting one each on top of the potato waffles.
So technically, if we're going to get accurate, that is two open-faced potato waffle burger sandwiches.
Yes.
I can imagine them appearing on, like, buffets at funerals. The saddest of all the buffet venues.
Jesus Christ.
Well, that would put a smile on my face. If I was at a funeral and, you know, you're trying to keep your spirits up and not crack, and if I saw suddenly a couple of burgers atop a potato waffle, I would crack a smile.
I'm going to make sure at your funeral that the caterers know this.
These ideas are solid gold. I'm packing in this whole video malarkey. I'm going to cater exclusively to the dead. Right. What's going on this week? You join us, listeners, on this glorious week of weeks where, holy cow, sometimes we say, oh, it's a busy week this week. No, seriously, though, it's insane this week. We've just got everything that Nintendo and its Switch console has to offer suddenly dumped on your mobile phone, seemingly out of the blue. I assume this is a coordinated strike attempt from Nintendo just to nuke our website.
Yeah. Evil.
I don't remember saying anything to deserve this. I've always been nice to Nintendo. What did we say to bring down this wrath on our head?
I have no idea. Why have they done this to us?
I know. We're complaining about what I would suppose you would call a... What's it called? The something of riches? An embarrassment of riches. Because it's loads of really good stuff. And we're not even putting an interview in this one because you'll find out there's way too much to talk about. We've got ourselves an Iron Moon update to mention. We've got Nintendo talking about its save policy and the fact that it won't necessarily delete all your data the moment you quit. Very sad news about Telltale and the fallout of that. We've got Fortnite players being able to play with PS4 members for the first time ever. Sony caved. And then new releases. We are talking Monster Hunter Stories coming over from the 3DS. We are talking Professor Layton and the Curious Village coming over from the 3DS. We are talking the first official new IP from Nintendo on mobile, built from the ground up, Dragalia Lost. And then just like loads of other new releases, which we'll have to get to. But oh my God, if that wasn't enough, if you're not impressed, I don't know what to say to you people. Let's do some news. Marines fans, rejoice. The Borealis update is now live as of today. We mentioned it a few podcasts ago. We weren't able to give you the full details because we didn't know. Now we can tell you 10 new missions and some new heroes as well. You get Blue Dragon, who's a Starfighter pilot. You get Roy, an alien gunslinger, and Sparris, a pathfinder. So that's the little level pack. You can download it right now. I believe it's a free update, so go and get on that immediately if you haven't already. Nintendo. It's going to be a recurring theme this episode. So, the Nintendo Online service, that got premiered a little while back. You told me all about it, Rick, because I was vaguely clueless. And this is the thing that gives you access to all their online business, plus that little cluster of games that we spoke about. The Indeed. Retro, whatever it's called.
Yes, the NES collection, as I call it. Because they just called it NES, Nintendo Switch Online, which is a terrible name.
That's a bit of a mouthful. Yeah, so playing all the retro stuff. Now, it seems that somewhere someone read online that if they delete their access to the online service and if they revoke their subscription, then suddenly all of their cloud-saved games will also vanish into the ether, which is undesirable. It seems Nintendo has heard this, heard the concerns, and clarified the case that this won't happen. How long are they going to keep your cloud saves for?
They're going to keep them for 6 months, I believe.
Okay.
Which is pretty good, given that you'll probably have at least a year on your subscription. Because the subscription for a year is £18. Like,
oh.
I don't know why you wouldn't get that one.
That's not too bad. Is there not another service you're also paying for on Nintendo? Is it just that online, or is there another
subscription? Just the online service, and it's £18 for a year. So.
Okay, there's no PlayStation Plus or Xbox Live Gold style thing they have to deal with?
Nope. Oh. This is the Xbox Live Gold
this is it.
Style oh. thing.
That's actually not too bad. Okay, so it gives you 6 months to resubscribe, and if you resubscribe during that time, you'll gain access. But after that point, you will, in fact, lose access. So there you go. So it's a little grace period for you there. So don't freak out if you are a Switch user. Now, on to slightly sadder news. So the Walking Dead game series from Telltale, we've talked about it many times. It's the thing that put the studio on the map in a big, bad way. And the success of that first season caused the studio to expand and diversify, and they produce a lot of other games off the back of it, including the Tales from the Borderlands and The Wolf Among Us and a number of other ones as well. Game of Thrones, huge IPs, which led to Minecraft eventually. Now, we found out this week, or the very beginning of this week, end of last week, that Telltale has laid off 250 employees. This is what was started to filter through Twitter and other places. They haven't released an official statement regarding the letting go of the staff, I don't think.
No, they have.
Oh, did they actually?
Yeah, they shortly after all the reports started pouring in, Telltale was kind of, you know, forced to reveal that they had unceremoniously sacked everybody on that day.
Right, okay. So it was the truth.
Yeah.
Which is, it's one of these things where it's sad news on a number of levels, and sometimes people get angry about the wrong bit of the issue, mm-hmm. It feels like to me. So, obviously, there are people who are going to be upset that this does mean, or could mean, that a lot of games that they like, or that a big game series they've been following for a long time, The Walking Dead, might not get finished. The first words that they released afterwards was basically that we are not going to be able to complete The Walking Dead's final season. It's going to stop at episode 2. And people got a bit up in arms on that. Now, there's been some movement on that since, where they're saying, well, actually, we're talking to partners about maybe continuing and finally finishing that series after all, so there might be wiggle room on it. But we saw a lot of people getting very angry about that, which, to me and to a large number of people, feels like the wrong bit to get furious about when what we've got here is 250 employees who were suddenly sacked out of nowhere, and again, from reports from all the people involved, got no severance pay or anything like that.
Yep. No, it's a real shame that people have decided to get angry about the fact that they're not getting a game, rather than people are not getting paid anymore.
Yeah, people may not be able to pay rent next month.
There's been some incredibly poor takes in the vein of they should continue working despite the fact they're not getting paid. It's like,
that I saw that one, yeah.
Yeah, that's not how life works. It's not that these people don't want to make the games, it's that they've all been sacked.
Yeah, and they eventually need to eat. And if they sit there making a game for free in all their free time, they're going to have their home repossessed.
Indeed.
Like, let's not be unreasonable. Generally speaking, most people involved in games development are extremely passionate fans because they literally have devoted their life to this stuff to the point where it's a career to make these things. And the industry, whilst being this glorious place of creativity and like diversity and an interesting melting pot of different individuals and wonderful ideas, does also have some major problems in terms of the way that it's not really unionized, and they have crunch periods at the end of game development. Heavy heart that this is happening, and it sort of sucks for everybody, and it leads to, you know, toxic work environments and all that business. It's obviously sad, yes, that The Walking Dead might not get finished, but the frustration of that tweet that they put out there going, hey, actually, we're looking into potential partners to see if we can finish this game. And it's like, you just sacked everybody who was making the game. They would have made the game. If you really wanted to complete the episodes and you needed, like, extra, if you were looking into partners giving you extra money to finish the game, then you didn't need to sack all the people who were good at making the game.
Yeah.
They're all gone now. Like, what? So that really sucks. And for everybody, this came out of nowhere, right?
Yeah. Literally, nobody knew. Not even the people at the company knew. It was they were called in, they were told they were laid off, they had to leave the building, and that was it.
And it seems like a massive surprise for everybody, because Telltale is one of the big success stories of the games industry. It's one of those things where a little studio who was doing its little games suddenly hit it big with global acclaim, and then started making all these games, and they're working with HBO and Game of Thrones, and they're working with Minecraft. They're getting their game on Netflix. It's like huge stuff. It just seemed like they were growing and growing and growing, and then suddenly, nope, the whole thing's shutting down.
Yep.
And you're like, oh, I guess there was a lot of stuff going on behind the scenes financially that we didn't see. But, like, is this... It's all wild speculation, but to me it feels like maybe too much speculation. They did too many different franchises and split their team too wide, and a bunch of them didn't pay off. Like, I don't know, but they were doing a lot of stuff. They were doing the Batman, they were doing the Minecraft, they did the Borderlands, they did Game of Thrones, Walking Dead they were still carrying on with, The Wolf Among Us, the season 2, which will now never happen. Like, there was a lot going on under that one studio head, and now it's all folded in. So, very sad. This is something that's been going on, like, 2012 was when The Walking Dead originally launched, so we've had 6 years of this, and now it is no more. So, if you are listening, or if you have any relation to Telltale, or you're affected by any of this, then, you know, we're gutted for y'all. But the nice thing, and we've seen it in the past when studio layoffs happen, is the only nice thing is watching other developers, like, rally.
Yeah. Yeah, there's definitely been a big amount of developers and indies and just anybody who has a job available saying, we'd love to hire you, kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
It's one of the few nice things about the games industry is that when bad things happen, other people step in and help.
Yes. So you have, as Rick says, lots of other developers chiming up on Twitter saying, just like, send us your portfolios. We feel you here. And that's always heartening to see in the face of something that's kind of pretty grim for everybody. So yes, sad news indeed. But don't shout at the Telltale people who can't make your game anymore. They'd very much like to make your game.
Yeah.
They're not being allowed to, so. Right, more surprising news, especially given Sony's stance for quite some time. Fortnite being the big thing that it is, cross-platform play has been, I guess, incredibly useful for both Fortnite and Epic, but also for console manufacturers. I think particularly for Xbox, the fact that, like, oh yeah, we welcome cross-platform play. We want you to play with other people from other platforms. And it's like, yes, Xbox, I bet you do.
Please, play Minecraft on every single platform you own it on, now that we own Minecraft.
Exactly. And the same was true of Fortnite as well. Sony, up until now, has been very much like, can't let fingers in the ears, la 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 la, don't know what you, no, no. And whenever questioned about, come on, Sony, do the cross-platform play, everyone else is doing it, they always respond with some statement like, we believe that PlayStation is the best platform for playing Fortnite. It's always like an indirect statement that basically says, no, get stuffed. And then, was it yesterday or the day before, they just tweeted out something saying, like, yeah, PS4 cross-play with Fortnite.
Right. I mean, there was a little bit more to it than that, but yeah, basically.
It was only a single line tweet that I saw. Maybe they've released a proper statement that I didn't read. But they basically went, yeah, go on then, have it. And everyone went, huh? Really? this is Epic, because they've been very, very cagey with cross-platform. And this concession to Fortnite potentially opens the floodgates for all of the other lovely games, doesn't it?
Mm. Indeed. So we might actually... The Minecraft Better Together update might actually have everyone together, and it might be better for it.
It might, yeah, that would be nice. And you've got the likes of, I mean, it. Am I right in thinking that Rocket League was already cross-platform, or is that not?
Yeah, it's cross-play, but it's not cross-play between PS4 and Xbox and PC.
So that's huge. So it's just really, really good news, I think, for everybody. Anything which just opens up the platforms to everybody and lets friend play against friend, regardless of your console. It doesn't matter, Rick, if your console is black or white. You should all be able to play together in harmony. And I think that is a lovely, superb, brilliant thing, and could set a great precedent going forward for all other games potentially being cross-platform, now that Sony is apparently open to the idea. I think there was a fairly, like, dim view of their stance up until now. They must have been, like, toe in the water. Actually, we think PS4's best for playing games, and then watch the reaction. And everyone was like, that's lame, guys. Come on, weak. And they've gone, oh, okay. Although, it was said in the chat earlier on, I think there's something to be said for the fact that they've dropped this just before Fortnite Season 6 goes live.
Yeah.
So now, people will be like, oh, I'll buy it on PlayStation because I can play with everybody, instead of being like, well, I guess I'll buy it for the Xbox so I can play with other people. So, you know, it obviously makes good business sense for them. It's in their interest as well. But generally good for everybody. And now you on your iPhone can play with your mates on your PS4, and then you can complain about not having a proper control pad to play with. Have you played multiplayer Fortnite? Like, you on a phone versus someone else on, like, a console?
I've never played it on a phone, no. Is it hard?
Well, I've played it on the phone, and I mean, I guess there's no way of me knowing whether the other players were on console or not. I won a couple, But nice. this was near the beginning of the game, so I imagine it was much the launch on iOS, that is. So I imagine it was a much smaller pool of iOS players, and maybe they were matchmaking you with other iOS players. This is what I mean. Like, I'm not sure quite what the balance looks like online. So yeah, I'd be curious to see how much of an advantage any platform has over another when they're all playing together. But either way, you'll be able to find out now. It's great news for everybody. So a little upper to end the news on after all of the grim. But wait, what's that I hear in the distance? It's the sound of 1,000 new releases. Oh God, here they come, Rick. No! Out and about this week. Where shall we start? So much to work with. Let's do Monster Hunter Stories, because I guess it's the one I've probably played the most over the course of the week. It is pretty much a direct port of Monster Hunter Stories from the 3DS, which is, if you've not played it before, the Pokemon-styled version of the Monster Hunter franchise, complete with extremely bright, cutesy graphics and little cutesy characters that talk a lot. There's a lot of plot in this one. And turn-based battles where there were before 50-minute long, real-time, incredibly stressful battles to the death to hack a wing off of a gigantic Velociprey and then make a belt out of it. And I played a bunch of this. I mean, scratch the surface, really. A couple of hours in Monster Hunter is no time at all, as we all know. But purely from a port point of view, right? This is the best handling Monster Hunter game on mobile, full stop. Which I didn't think I would necessarily say. It is, in many ways, very similar in terms of the movement controls to the classic Monster Hunter games. You are still running around with one stick and controlling the camera with the right stick and everything. But the touchscreen controls feel really, really good. And you don't run around too fast, and that makes it very easy to control. And the other thing being, combat isn't about movement and reactions, really. So all you're doing is traversing the map and the world using the touchscreen, you know, virtual stick. That feels great, nice and easy, not twitchy, lovely stuff. Combat is turn-based now, because rather than hunting monsters, then skinning them and doing terrible things to them, you're collecting them. They're called your monsties, which the game is very proud of telling you this is a combination of the word monster and bestie.
No.
Yeah, I'm not lying. They're called monsties because they're your pals. The idea is that you kill them and you go and you steal eggs and then you hatch the eggs and then you've got a little baby, whatever, Velociprey. And then that was the first one I got, the little raptor guy, whom I called Craptor. And he's my little buddy. And then he follows you around and goes into battle with you. So it very much is Pokemon, where you are at the back and you're fighting, but you also have your creatures beside you, and you can improve them and level them and collect up the gang and swap them all around and all of that business. The actual combat is that rock, paper, scissors style thing where they have a speed attack and a tech attack and a power attack, and you're supposed to anticipate which one they're going to do so that you can make the right attack. But then you've also got the other Monster Hunter stuff, so you can throw spike bombs and, you know, various other bits and bobs that you would collect. It's a really strange collision of stuff for me, because when you go into the menus and pull up the item lists are Monster Hunter. It's all the classic Monster Hunter icons, and you're like, this is Monster Hunter. And then the battles happen, and it's like, it's not Monster Hunter. I'm so confused. Have you played any Monster Hunter at all?
I played the most recent one that came on Switch. So I can't remember what that was. Monster Hunter Generations.
I don't know what. Yeah,
Deluxe or whatever.
So you're familiar with the normal form of the franchise?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So yeah, what it feels like to me is this is a very, very nice port of that game.
Mm-hmm.
Someone else had it on the 3DS. I had a quick go at one point. So you lose the second screen functionality, obviously, so now your map is in the top right-hand corner. But apart from that, it looks great. It looks better, if anything, because it's got that sort of HD gloss. It runs like a dream, even on lower-powered devices. No slowdown or anything. So that aspect of it, great port of that game. The game itself, I do think, is a weird one, because if you're used to Monster Hunter and you like Monster Hunter, it's a very specific flavor of thing, Monster Hunter. Mm. It is a unique beast of a game, one which is incredibly hard to get into and not accessible, but once you put the time in and get into it, it is a game unlike any other. And it offers rewards unlike any other. And that's what people come here for. They ain't going to get that from this, because this is very light in comparison, and this is much more for your Pokemon crowd. But I don't think it does Pokemon as well as Pokemon does.
Hmm.
And it's not really Monster Hunter enough to please the hardcore Monster Hunter fans. So it feels like it falls between these two points, and I'm not sure it's going to massively satisfy either of them. It's a good game. I think it's really well done. I'm just not sure who it's for. The other problem is it's £20.
Yeah.
And more and more, that is a big ask on mobile. I'm not saying it isn't worth it, but putting that price tag on mobile is always like, people complain about 99 cents nowadays. So £20 is like, wow. And it's not the only one this week. It's gone full premium this week and more than once. And I will look on with interest to see how those games fare. But I've done a hands-on video with it. The review's going up next week because this is a big game and you can't just knock off a review in 3 hours in the morning because it would be ridiculous. So Monster Hunter Stories is the name. Check out the video to see it running on me device. Moving on, let's do... Now, it's a game that neither of us have played in its finished form on iOS, but Professor Layton has hit. So this is the second Professor Layton game to be ported directly from the DS or 3DS, and this one is Professor Layton and the Curious Village.
Yes. I think this is the first one ported directly from the DS.
Really? I thought they did another one.
There was Catrail's Mystery Journey, which was developed... It was sort of co-developed for the 3DS and iOS.
Oh,
and launched on iOS first and then came to 3DS later.
Gotcha.
Interesting. But this is a port of the very first Professor Layton game, which came out in, like, 2006, I want to say.
Oh, wow. Earlier. Okay.
It is an old game now.
Right.
But if... So, yeah, as you say, we've not played it because we still haven't got a code for it yet.
These games basically all dropped out of nowhere. We didn't. Yeah. There was no notice for anybody. They all appeared like on the same day, as if Nintendo was like, "Ha, have all this." And we're like, "What?"
But I have played Catrail's Mystery Journey, which was the last and first proper Professor Layton game on iOS, and that worked really well. It did a great job at doing the whole two screen thing that's been key to the game for ages. I played it on iPad, and it just worked beautifully,
mm-hmm.
And was great fun.
Does it split the screen in two? Do you have a top screen and a bottom screen on the iPad, or does it do it differently?
No, it does it exactly as if you were playing it on 3DS.
So
you play it in portrait mode, I think.
Yeah.
You play it in portrait mode, and then the top screen gets, like, cut off, and then you've got top screen and bottom screen. The only annoying thing is that the cutscene's played in landscapes. So you've got to tilt your device every...
Oh, yeah. This one is the HD remaster of that first game, as you say. Yes, you do play it in portrait. Yes, it appears to take exactly the same form as the old one, which we've reviewed. I think I even got some footage of it if you want to see what that might look like. It is £9.99, this one, or $9.99. We've got a lot of reviews appearing on the App Store saying it appears to be working, so that's a good sign. And again, we'll be covering it and reviewing it and everything else, and it'll turn up next week as soon as we've got our paws on it. As far as the game itself goes, I don't know if you've played the original Professor Layton.
Yes, it's brilliant. Very first Professor Layton's absolutely fantastic.
Wicked. All right. See, I've never played any of the Professor Layton games, for
no.
shame.
No! Well, come on! Tell me this.
I only just got around to Ace Attorney a couple of years ago, so
jeez,
I've got to work my way through these things, and then eventually get to the crossover.
The crossover's so good.
I hear it's really weird.
It's the stupidest game in either of series, and it's absolutely fantastic.
Brilliant. All right, then. So yes, you can get your hands on that right now. Now to the third of the, I guess, four biggest releases of the week: Dragalia Lost. This is history, I think, more than any of the other. Even more, I suppose, more than Mario coming over to me, because this is the fourth Nintendo game, if we're going to count, say, fourth, fifth. So Mario Run, you had Fire Emblem Heroes, you had Animal Crossing Pocket Camp. Miitomo doesn't count, because it doesn't. and now we have Dragalia Lost, which is the first actual game built from the ground up for mobile by Nintendo, which never happened before. So that's exciting stuff. to see what Nintendo can really, really do when they cut loose with no restrictions, no having to try and cram an existing format onto mobile, and how are we going to twist it and reshape it and make it work. Nope, we've got a mobile phone. What are we going to make? We can do anything. And they've done Dragalia Lost. So it is an action RPG, which you play in portrait mode, hold it in one hand. I've played about half an hour to an hour of it. It is lovely to look at. It's lovely to control. It's very, very streamlined and sort of simplistic, but not necessarily in a bad way. So you take control of the character. You just drag your thumb around the screen to move them around. It's a fully 3D, you know, camera up in the sky type affair. You swipe on the screen to do a little roll to the side, and then you tap on the screen to attack. So you can do it all with one thumb. It's a really nice feeling. It's incredibly responsive. So I've been playing it for the entire time, and I never once like went to swipe to do a dodge roll, and then the game didn't dodge roll.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Sometimes you can get really fiddly controls where like it's not registering. Swipe, swipe, no swipe. This wasn't that at all. It is like very, very nicely tuned. And the attack stuff feels very satisfying. Now, it's JRPG through and through. You've got little nods to Final Fantasy. You've got little nods to Zelda. It feels like a mixture of the DNA of all these games. So, for example, you control a hero character who's got a sister, and the sister's got a little floating fairy around her who's giving her tips and commenting and advice and stuff, and you're going, hello, yes, I too have played Zelda. And then they all look like the little squashed Final Fantasy-style characters from, like, Final Fantasy IX, so the big heads and the kind of, you know, spiky hair and all that business. So it's very colourful and cutesy and delightful. There's full voice acting in it. For bits. Ooh. In between the text, full American translated voice acting with a slightly hackneyed script, but whatever. Production values through the roof. They've clearly spent time on it, and it feels nicely honed. The dungeon areas are very short, so you kind of run down a corridor. There are a few branches, like left, right, you go into little cul-de-sacs and collect some stuff and smash some barrels up. Then run into an enemy at the end, or enemies a few points along the way, bit of a boss battle, and then you're out. And then there's a little bit of story, and then you move on to the next bit. I don't know about the free-to-play mechanics, for it is free-to-play, because it hasn't asked me to do anything yet. It hasn't asked me to buy a load of stuff, or
I mean,
told
that's,
me...
that's good for half an hour.
Yeah, it's not bad. It's not bad about that. So it hasn't hit me with the horrible, like, you know, you must stop playing now, or give us all your cash, and or anything like that.
Yeah.
But, again... it's a great big RPG thing, and I'm not going to review it based on, you know, half an hour's gameplay, because that's mental. So, once again, full review for that's going to be going up next week. The slight wrinkle in this release is that we're in the UK. It's not technically out in the UK. And even if you download it from the US App Store, it won't let you play it in the UK because it will recognize you're not on the right server. So, unless you have access to a VPN... which I may have had access to, hence why there's a video now, you won't be able to play it in the UK or Europe just yet. If you're in the US, however, you can crack on with it right now. Japan, Taiwan, and a few other places get it before we do. So I don't know when it's due to hit UK shores, hopefully sooner rather than later. It's also going to be coming to Android, I believe, based on like a Google Play thing on the website, I think. In the same way that, you know, the other games came to Android eventually, Super Mario Run and whatnot, but I don't know how soon. But Dragalia Lost, free to download right now, a review to follow. Then the fourth one, which I haven't played, I haven't even gone near it, because this has already been quite enough, thank you. Harvest Moon, Light of Hope, arrived on iPhone and Android for $14.99 or pounds is. Now, I don't know squat about Harvest Moon. I've never played one. So I judge by the side that you have.
I've played the DS one, I think, and I played the GameCube version, which is completely unlike all of the Harvest Moon games, but ends up my favourite.
Okay.
But this... So, there's JRPG? A bit of confusion going on here.
Right.
Harvest Moon, as a series, has declined in quality quite severely.
Okay.
Because the original developers decided to start making different games, but Natsume, who holds the license, wouldn't let them take the license with them. and then said, we'll just develop it ourselves. Oh. So Harvest Moon in its current form generally isn't very good.
Okay.
But Story of Seasons, which is the spin-off that the original developer went on to make, is apparently quite good. This one is... It came out on Switch, weirdly, a couple of weeks ago, or possibly a month ago now.
Oh.
And I haven't played it, but it doesn't look great. Graphically, in particular, it's like the very, very cartoony and lightweight and meh.
They look like Miis.
Yeah.
The faces look like the Miis from the original Wii and DS.
I'm not particularly excited to try it out. I'm you know, intrigued. I want to see if it does the series justice and if it manages to finally reverse the curse in any way, but... I don't know. There's, you know, there's Stardew Valley now. We don't really need Harvest Moon anymore.
I was about to ask. So Stardew Valley is kind of a similar game. It's something that's a sort of spiritual...
Yes, it was designed specifically to fill the gap that Harvest Moon had left.
I got you. Okay, okay. And yeah, everyone's crazy for that. So this mobile version, Light of Hope, is this... This is a port of the Switch version then.
Yes.
So you might have already played it. It might have been out and about... £14.99. I think the Steam version is £20 and the Switch version is £40. So it's pretty cheap in comparison to them. But obviously on the pricier end of the mobile scale. Again, we hope to cover it. But these all basically dropped on the same day. And so we will be going, and scrabbling to try and play, download, review, all the rest of it at the same time. And, you know, can't do it all. So Harvest Moon Light of Hope out now on both Android and iOS simultaneously for £15. Whew, what else have we got? What have you played? You played something on Switch, haven't you?
I played a little game called Wandersong.
Wandersong.
As far as I can tell, is made by like three people and is being published by Humble Bundle, which is kind of interesting.
Okay.
It's a game where you are a bard, and it's all 2D sort of kind of Paper Mario style, so everything's flat and colourful and nice like that. And you are a bard, and your only way of interacting with the world, other than like talking to people regularly, is to sing.
Nice.
And so you move with the left stick, and then you can choose one of eight like notes to hit while you're singing, and he'll just sort of go...
And they're represented by like a circular colour wheel that flies out from your character, doesn't it?
Yeah. So you, and there's loads of puzzles that are sort of built around, like, you'll see certain colours, and you'll go, oh, I have to sing in that colour now, and... Or people will move in certain directions. You've got to follow the directions they move and do sort of kind of like Simon Says style puzzles, which is really interesting. The game itself is kind of fun. The puzzles tend to go on a little bit too long, which is a bit annoying. The actual like world and everything and the story is fantastic. The graphics are beautiful. The audio is lovely. It has, because it's on Switch, it has this really weird thing. You can play it in a sort of bizarre co-op mode because it's got like multiple ways of jumping and multiple ways of triggering the certain things. So the only things that you can't, that are limited to one button, are movement and singing. So I've been playing it with my girlfriend and I've been doing the movement and all the jumping and stuff and she does all the singing. So we've been sort of coordinating how we work to turn it into a co-op game. And it surprisingly works really well. And you can still have a lot of fun and get the whole experience, and then you get to share it with somebody else, and it's completely unintended consequences to the console itself.
I like that. I like those unintended two-player games. I've said it, people will know I've said it before, but X-Wing, back on the PC, I used to play it with my brother, where I would control the shield management, and basically I was the R2 unit in the back of the X-Wing.
Nice.
And then we would swap. And it was a really nice way to play it, because you'd be like powder shields, forward shields, and it would feel a little, almost Star Trek-y rather than Star Wars, because you're issuing orders and acting on them.
Mm. But yeah, it's just... It is a really, really, really lovely game. It's incredibly cleverly designed because it's all just built around this one mechanic, and the whole game is just built around this one thing. So everything is designed so it works works in that sort of way. And so it's just, the design of it is astounding. Just how they've managed to keep it interesting with every sort of new thing that you do. There's a new and interesting way of interacting with the world, even though you're just doing it through these eight singing notes.
Right.
I haven't done my review yet. I'm probably going to give it a 9. I would say I think it's absolutely brilliant. And if you like platformers and puzzle platformers in particular, and you like kind of silly stories and a good bit of humour. It's got that kind of Donut County humour.
Oh yeah, sort of wacky and surreal.
Wacky, surreal kind of modern internet humour type thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's brilliant. It's just brilliant. I absolutely love it. That's
excellent. So yeah. Full title of that one is?
It's just Wander Song, as in to wander whilst you are singing a song.
Okay, got you. Wander as in W-A.
Yes.
Cool. Okay, that's out on Switch right now for some money. NBA 2K19, anybody? That's out now. It's maybe not the game you think it is, because I fired it up just before we started. My initial thought was going to be, oh, you know, it's a full kind of, you know, sportsy game, and I'm going to be controlling my basketball men. And I don't follow basketball. We don't really follow it in the UK. Sorry, the US. The NBA is not really our thing. Actually, it's a card game. You're collecting cards. It's a card game, and what's particularly funny is the cards appear on the court, and then they jump around on the court as if they were basketball players.
No.
Seriously. And they bounce the basketball between, like, the edges of their cards, and then they bounce all up to the thing, and then they do a slam dunk. Only it's a card doing a slam dunk.
I refuse to accept this. Are you sure you're talking about the right game?
It's NBA 2K19, my guy. That's totally what it is. And I was slightly surprised that that's not what I thought it was going to be. So yeah, there you go. Have that. I've only played it very briefly. I don't know jack about it. It's £7.99 or $7.99, which, again, I'm like, really? To the point where I was like, am I playing the wrong thing, but it's my NBA 2K19. That's what it's called, right?
No.
No, is it not?
NBA 2K19 is...
Have I downloaded my NBA 2K19?
If you have, that would explain why it's got cards and stuff.
Well then, okay, there you go.
That's why I was so confused.
Okay, no, good. Yeah, actually, it's immediately blow it on the App Store, and I've just screwed up. That's what's happened there.
I was going to say, have you downloaded it? It's a premium game, but I just didn't want to...
No, I'm leaving that in the podcast because it's fun. Okay, so now looking at the actual game, which is immediately below the line. If I had just scrolled down half a second, I would see. Yeah, it's £7.99, and it is now a full 3D NBA game. Obviously, I haven't played it. We'll have to grab codes or whatever. But if you're a sportist, that's lookable at now. Don't know whether it's any good or not. Might not be. There's more to come. So how about Hooky Crook? Which is a game that Harry has reviewed, and I've played a little bit. You're a little stealth ninja cat who pops out of the screen at the very beginning, like climbing through a window, and then immediately jumps out of that window, falling down the screen to his death, until the screen freezes, and it's like, tap on the screen. And so you tap and hold, and he hookshots. He fires a little hook up to a small precipice, cliff edge thing, or a little spike on the wall, and he immediately breaks his fall with the hook, swings over, and then you release, the hook retracts, and then you are carried along by momentum until you see another little point, and then you press again, and he fires another hook shot off. And then you traverse the level left to right until you eventually see a great big green emerald crystal. And you need to aim your cat at that crystal, and if he hits the crystal, brilliant, he's got it, that's the end of the level, you move on to the next one. Very, very short little levels, almost single screen, it scrolls a little bit to the right. But they're super, super short. And it's just a fun little hookshot mechanic. 84 levels to jump your way through. It's kind of all right. I didn't necessarily like it as much as Harry did, I guess. but he played it a bunch more than me. It's free to play, so there's no harm in giving it a go. But Hooky Crook is the name of that one. You can give it a little look there. Finally, I don't even know if this is finally, but Animus Harbinger. This I haven't played, okay? So this is developed by Ten Birds, which have made some games which have had a little bit of a flavour of Dark Souls in them. This one has clearly just got the Dark Souls recipe book and has just gone, oh, we'll make that, shall we? Because to look at it, stylistically, it is so Dark Souls. That same kind of incredibly grim, underlit world with characters with gigantic weapons that are far too big for them. Very, very little on screen in terms of, you know, health bars and all that kind of stuff. It's super minimal. I don't know how this controls. It's free to play. I'm about to do a video of it that should hopefully go up on Monday. So we'll see. 1.3 gig of storage. It's a good looking game. I say it really has just gone. We're clearly going to use Dark Souls as our template. Lots of brown and green and grey. I don't know how that's going to work with a free-to-play mechanic.
The first level is free.
Oh, and then it goes premium.
And then it goes premium.
All right, well, that gives me some hope, actually, because I do not want to see the whole you've died, you now have to pay 99 cents to get your souls back or something. That would be grim. It's got not great reviews on the App Store at the moment, but I will hold my judgment till I've actually played the damn thing myself. So Animus Harbinger is the name of that one. There is also Bacon the Game, which came out, haven't played, don't really know. And oh, Hovercraft Battle Arena, I did play this. This is a Minecraft lawsuit waiting to happen. Because you just need to look at the logo where it's Hovercraft written in the Minecraft font with the Minecraft styling and Battle Arena written below it. And the idea is that you're playing a big voxel hovercraft in the middle of the screen. The game is totally different. Like, it's just calling itself Hovercraft instead of Minecraft and making it look like it is where the similarity ends. So you automatically accelerate, you tap left or right to steer your hovercraft, and the idea is it's a multiplayer online game. You take part in teams of three, and you're trying to capture these glowing pink holo cube things. And the idea is you need to get to 10 cubes. Your team has to collect 10 of them and hold them for 15 seconds before the game is over. Actually plays all right. Like, it's quite drifty to control. I like a bit of Wipeout, as regular listeners will know. So this speaks to me a little bit with the drifty, futuristic hover racer thing. Only it's much more like playing Mario Kart in those battle modes where everyone's facing inwards. So you're stuck in this case, it's a circular arena in most cases. But these cubes, they spawn at random at different points in the thing, and suddenly everyone charges towards that point and tries to grab it and hold onto it. Whereas if you drift your reticle over enemies, you will also fire. So it's got that combat thing that you get in Wipeout as well. So it's actually all right to play. I spent about half an hour with it. It seemed pretty fun, pretty fine. But a little bit disappointing. It's just doing this weird Minecraft sort of... I don't think it needed to do that. Mm-hmm. If it had just gone, hey, we're a voxel game and we've got 3.3 multiplayer combat and not called itself Hovercraft in the Minecraft font, it would have done itself more favours. But what do I know about SEO? So, Hovercraft Battle Arena is the name. It's free to play. That's iOS and Android right now. My throat hurts.
I think that's everything.
From all these games, Rick. God. Yeah, that'll do for this week. If that doesn't give you something to play, I don't know what will. Also, if you've listened this long, let it be known, the Apps by YouTube channel is having a rebrand. If you're listening to this on Monday, 1st of October, you'll click over to the page and discover that it now says Pocket Gamer, where it once said Apps by. If you're familiar with the podcast, if you listen to this, you already know that we're all part of the same family, because it's the Pocket Gamer podcast, but I do the Apps by channel. We're all part of the same network, and Apps by was the official channel. But there's always that little confusion where people go, you Apps by and Pocket Gamer, because they're too different. And it's always bugged me, so we've always wanted to kind of bring the two things together, and that's what we're doing. Like, not much will change in terms of the videos themselves, other than it's now gone a bit blue, and everything that once said Apps by will now say Pocket Gamer. There's another thing I'm doing where I'm starting to render videos in portrait mode as well, because that's always bugged me too. So now if you see a portrait game on the YouTube channel, like Dragalia, for example, I've rendered it in portrait mode with a whole bunch of different interstitial ident stuff. So now when you play the video, it'll fill up your whole screen if you're watching it on an iPhone or an iPad. You can just watch it in portrait mode like that, which is something I've been wanting to do for ages and have finally done, and I'm chuffed with. So go and have a look at the new Pocket Gamer YouTube channel. You'll be able to search it out and find it. If you're already subscribed to AppSpy, you'll just see the icons change. It won't affect you at all, so don't worry about it. But just to explain why this is what's happening, and it is a nice and good thing. So go and have a look at that. Go and play some games. Thank you for listening. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
Bye.